Life is a path. It's a beautiful, complicated path. And like most paths, it's smooth and it's joyous. But to the right, the left, excuse me, where did that come from? You know, if you're on a path to the left, the right, around every fork in the road, there are decisions. There's potential dangers, potential joys. I remember one of my favorite path analogies came from actually a time I was hiking with one of my best friends, Dan Luan. We were hiking at the very first City Light men's retreat. A couple of you remember this. Gordon had poles. It was amazing. And, you know, we're just trucking along and we're doing some night hiking and all of a sudden we're nearly off the path and Dan, our fearless leader, almost goes off a cliff. And now we've sort of revamped all of our men's retreats so that there's no more night hiking. But this is what life is like. It's a path. It's joyous. It's fun. You're out there. It's great. But to the left or to the right and at every fork in the road, there's potential danger. And there is also potential joy. And according to the book of Proverbs, the book of the Bible we've been studying over the last couple months, one of the greatest factors that contributes to whether you will walk the path of life with wisdom, that is, with skill. One of the greatest factors of whether you will walk the path of life with glory to God, joy to yourself, and joy to the people around you, according to the book of Proverbs, one of the greatest factors are the friends that you choose to walk that path with. According to the book of Proverbs, friendship is insanely important. Insanely important. And the whole message of Proverbs on the topic of friendship can probably be boiled down to one verse. It's Proverbs 13:20. Many of you have heard it before. It says that he who walks with the wise, or whoever walks with the wise, that is, whoever's a friend to the wise, becomes wise. But a companion of fools will suffer harm. I like the message paraphrase of this verse. It says, become wise by walking with the wise, hang out with fools, and watch your life fall to pieces. It's amazing. And this morning, as we unpack the wisdom from Proverbs on this topic of friendship, we're going to essentially look at three different things. The first thing we're going to look at is what Proverbs essentially calls false friends. False friends. Now, we need to stop right there, and I need to say a quick preface on false friends. When Proverbs talks about false friends, it's not talking about your enemies. I know for many of us, you know, you've probably got hundreds, maybe even thousands of friends on Facebook. Hundreds, maybe thousands of followers, you know, on Twitter or Instagram or Tumblr, and part of the result of that, though, I don't think social media is like, you know, this crux of satanic horribleness. It's fine. You know, it is what it is. You can use it for good or for evil. But the interesting thing is, because many of us have thousands of friends on Facebook, it's really cheapened the biblical concept of friendship. You know, the same Hebrew word that's translated in noun form as friend, if it's used in verbal form, we translate it to love. You don't have as many friends as you think. You don't. And that's okay. It's really okay because according to Proverbs, a friend is someone who you've mutually chosen to journey through life with. Someone you've mutually chosen to journey through life with, and you give one another special access, sacrificial service for your joy and God's glory. That's what a biblical friend is. And so when I talk about false friends, I'm not necessarily talking about enemies. I may be just talking about people that, you know, they're just not the people you're going to journey through life with. They don't become your enemies. You need multiple streams of categories for people in your life. It's not just friend or enemy. There's friend, there can be coworker, there can be neighbor, there can be classmate, there can be all these things, there can be family members, some of which are your true friends, others they're not, they're false friends, but that doesn't mean they're your enemies, it just means you may need to reposition them so that you can maximize your time for your true friends. They don't get removed from your life, you're friendly with all of them. They just may not be your friends, as Proverbs describes it. So we're going to look at false friends, then we're going to look at true friends. These are kind of the people that we want to become and the people we want to invest in. And lastly, we'll look at Christ the friend, how Jesus transforms friendship. And now remember, the reason this is so important, some of you are like, this is a Sunday school class? We're going to spend a whole Sunday on friends? He who walks with the wise becomes wise. And how does the message say it? Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. Your friends really determine your trajectory on the path. They really do. So first, we're going to look at false friends. Seven profiles of the false friend. These may not be enemies. They just may be people that you need to kind of redefine the relationship with. The first one that Proverbs talks about is the foolish friend. The first false friend that Proverbs talks about is the foolish friend. This is Proverbs 14, verse 7. Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. Proverbs 22, verses 24 to 25. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. The false friend, the first one, is a foolish friend. This may be the friend, you know, you're super close with them, but they just give you bad advice. Any of you have that friend? I've got family members like this. I love them. They're awesome. They're wonderful, but I cannot trust their advice. Maybe it's because they don't love Jesus. Maybe it's just because they're not generally wise. They're founts of profuse and constant advice, but you just can't really trust it. These are people, yeah, you love them. They're part of your life, but they're not those like few people that you really journey with. You may just, it's not that you need to vilify them. You just may need to redefine that relationship a little bit. Another kind of foolish friend can be the friend you sin with. Any of you, you just have that friend, it's like you're in that pattern whenever you hang out, all you do together is sin, sinful attitude, sinful speech, you know, whatever it happens to be. That is not someone that loves you that you want to journey through life with. And so Proverbs says, you may need to redefine that, steer clear of them a little bit. The foolish friend, that's the first one. Now, the foolish friend is the one we have to stop and look at for just a few seconds longer than the rest of them. And there's a reason for that. Because when I read what Proverbs says about foolish friends and how I'm supposed to avoid them, the immediate thing that comes to my mind is, well, what about all my friends that don't know Jesus yet? Am I supposed to be intimate friends with people who don't yet know Jesus just because, I mean, am I supposed to push those relationships aside because they're maybe not wise? And the answer to that question is no. You're not supposed to push them aside. You know, one of the first things that Jesus is accused of by the Pharisees is what? He's a friend of sinners, a friend of tax collectors, a friend of prostitutes. They didn't accuse him of that because he hung out with nice church people all the time. They didn't accuse him of that because he never hung out with them. They accused him of that because he was around people like that all the time. I can't stand this whole idea, you know, that comes up in Christian community that, well, I'm a Christian, and if I'm going to be wise, you know, I just can't hang out with people who don't love Jesus. Are you crazy? That was all of us at some point. I can't imagine if my friend Caleb was like, dude, this guy's an idiot, so I'm never going to hang out with him and share the gospel with him. He hung out with me. He shared with me the gospel and his life. I became a Christian through him. It was amazing. So Jesus is a friend to sinners like us. The Apostle Paul also, he's constantly saying stuff like, I love it in 1 Corinthians, he goes, I want you to stay away from the sexually immoral in this world. I want you to stay away from the drunkards. I want you to stay away from them. And then he clarifies, he goes, not the sexually immoral of this world, or you'd have to go out of the world. He's saying, what I'm talking about is hypocritical Christians. Christians who just sin constantly but will never repent. Never confess their sin. He's saying, dude, those people, they're hypocrites, and you may need to distance yourself from them so they realize, like, wow, I'm not totally a part of this normal fellowship. There's something wrong. I need to repent. I need to give my sin to Jesus, receive his forgiveness. Paul's not talking about doing that with people who aren't yet Christians. You'd have to leave the world to do that. Paul says, look, I've become all people, all things to all people, so by any means I might reach some. So what I'd encourage you with is just to ask yourself the question, which direction of influence is flowing stronger? Are you influencing them toward Christ, or are they influencing you maybe toward worldliness? It's not that you're supposed to go out of this world. You just have to be wise about these things. I hope that makes a little bit of sense, because when I read Proverbs, I'm like, oh, does that mean I can't be? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means we're wise about it. So that's the foolish friend. Secondly, under these false friends is the gossip friend. This is Proverbs 17:9. He who repeats a matter separates close friends. He who repeats a matter separates close friends. Let me tell you, you can love a gossip, but you can't journey through life with them because you can't trust them. You can love them, but you can't really have that intimate journeying through life together because it's hard to trust them. And maybe you're here and you're like, but my like best friend is kind of a gossip. Well, I'm not saying just remove him from your life. Talk to him about it. Maybe that's a tendency you see in yourself. Give that to Jesus. Ask for strength to change by the power of the Spirit. Thirdly, the fake friend. We've all got one like this. Proverbs 18:1. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. For some of us in this room, the reason we don't have true intimate friendships is we are the fake friend. We isolate ourselves. Now, don't be fooled by this, because sometimes the fake friend, I've had tendencies toward this in my own life, and sometimes the fake friend is the life of the party. Everyone likes them. They're totally social. Not all the time, but many times that's the case. But no one really knows them. They don't let anyone really in. Some of you, you're like that. You don't have anyone in your life that you can tell everything to. And at core, and I'm really sympathetic to that, but at core, I just want to encourage you that it is pride that's at the heart of fake friendship. We're so terribly afraid to be truly known. But if Jesus Christ has died for us, then as my friend told me this week, cheer up. You're worse than you even know. So you can now, in the strength that Christ gives, be real. The fake friend is a friend I'm very sympathetic to, but I just want to encourage you, cheer up. It's worse than you ever expected. But Jesus has still loved you, lived for you, died for you, and been raised. You can be real. You can be real. Fourthly, the one-way friend. Everybody has one of these as well. The one-way friend. Proverbs 19:4, wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. Proverbs 19:6, many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. One of the false friends is the one-way friend. This is the friend they always want you to call them, serve them, hang out with them, bless them, listen to them, and then when you're going through something, it never gets turned around back on you. Some of you, you have this amazing propensity to be generous with yourself, with your time, with your emotions, with your service. And you let yourself get taken advantage of by the one-way friend who is always taking but is never reciprocating. Biblical friendship, like I said, is this mutual agreement to journey through life together with sacrificial service, special access. And the one-way friend, the problem is that there's no mutuality in that relationship. It can't be a biblical friendship yet. Fifthly, this one's a little convicting to me because I'm kind of like a hyper-positivity person. Proverbs 25:20, this is the hyper-spiritual friend. It's a byproduct of the job sometimes. Proverbs 25:20, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day. You gotta love Proverbs. And like vinegar on soda. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart. Any of you have this friend? Sometimes I have been this friend in the past to my wife, and I want to say I apologize, but sometimes I'm this friend. Something's wrong. Everything's great, it's awesome, you know, no, don't worry. You know, my My grandmother just died. I lost my job. I got in a car accident. Well, everyone's a conqueror in Christ. Like, it's going to be fine. And you know, it's good. You know these people, right? You're having a rough day, and it's always met with like a smile and a Bible verse. And you know, and whenever you ask them how they're doing, they respond, better than I deserve. It's like, oh, gosh. I mean, I have a friend like this. Every time, how you doing? Better than I deserve. I'm like, I guess this conversation's over. You know, it's like, what do you even say to that? And some of you, you're the hyper-spiritual friend. You're so afraid of anything ever being wrong that someone comes to you, or your spouse comes to you, you're like, I've had a rough day, and all you can do is get in cheer-up mode. Paul says, you weep with those who weep, and you rejoice with those who rejoice. The trouble with the hyper-spiritual friend like myself sometimes is that they can only hang with you through half your life. They rejoice with you, but when it's time to weep, they're like Job's friends. You remember Job's friends show up after Job's lost his entire family and go, gosh, your attitude's a little negative. Like, if you take home your proverb card this week, you'll get to read a little bit about Job's friends. Okay, sixthly, the yes man friend. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Let's just be real. Most of us in this room love that friend. We love the yes man friend. Never challenges us, never calls us on anything. We love the yes man friend. And as soon as someone moves from yes man friend to like these wounds of love, we just push them aside. You go, oh, I can't believe you'd ever speak to me like that. We're not really friends anymore. And we just pull them out of the friend category because one time they told us we did something wrong. Man, we love the yes man friend, but the yes man friend doesn't love you. They're almost always just doing that probably to get something out of you. It's a yes man friend. Then lastly, the stubborn friend. You ever been this friend? I have. Proverbs 29:1. He who is often reproved, yet stiffens his neck, will suddenly be broken beyond healing. The stubborn friend is that friend that always has to be right. They can't ever hear correction. They are absolutely in love with their own opinions. You can't even hardly reason with them. The trouble with the stubborn friend is that the reciprocation just ends so quickly because you fight so easily. Listen, if you're in Christ, you've been forgiven an infinite amount. So you can just assume that most of the time you're probably wrong. I mean, honestly, like if the gospel is true, most of the time you're probably wrong or at least half wrong. So chill on the pride. And just when you find yourself, especially you married couples, but this applies to everyone, when you find yourself like with the guns coming up because they're an idiot, just take a breath. Think about Jesus on the cross and realize you're not always right. So, I know everyone's like, okay, now I'm depressed. We'll get to the true friend in a moment, but just a couple ideas of reflection as we think about these false friends. First of all, I'd encourage some of us to just come to grips with the good reality that you don't have as many true friends as you think. And that's okay. It's okay. How have you been a false friend? It's just something to reflect on when you get together with your city group this week. You'll talk about it. How have maybe you've been a false friend? Are you the hyper-spiritual friend? Are you the fake friend? What relationships may you need to reposition or redefine? They're not your enemies, but you may need to just simply say, I don't think we're going to journey together in quite the way that Proverbs pictures friendship. And I want to just remind you, the reason this is so important is the big idea for our morning. He who walks with the wise becomes wise. The companion of fools suffers harm. That's why this is such a big deal. I love you. I want you to become wise. Now, true friends. Who are these true friends? Here's a profile of the true friend. First of all, Proverbs says the true friend is the sharpening friend. Proverbs 20:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. This is that friend that just makes you more like Jesus. They build you up. They encourage you. They love you. They know sometimes when you screw up, they speak the truth in love. They rebuke you. Other times they have enough discernment to know, I'm just going to overlook this one because we can't point out every fault every time. They're the sharpening friend. I've got a friend like this. My best guy friend is a guy named Jeremy. I met him when I was 18. You know, we've been friends for 10 years. He doesn't live anywhere near here, but he still calls me like every other week. How you doing? You loving your wife well? You walking with Jesus? He sharpens me. That relationship's not going anywhere. I'll push things aside to make time for the sharpening friend. If you've got a sharpening friend, grab onto him, stick with him. Second one is the loyal friend. The loyal friend. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The loyal friend is the friend who is with you through thick and thin, through various seasons. They are there. And loyalty is like a lost art these days. And apparently it was back in Solomon's day as well. He's telling his son, look, you may have a ton of dudes that want to come over and like have a beer. They're not all your friend. They're not all your friend because they're not all going to be there when things get rough. I mean, look, the most loyal person I know in my life is my wife. If she is your friend, she has your back forever. That is it. Like last night, I wake up at 2 a.m. because I don't want to freak you out, but I experience intense satanic attack almost every Saturday. I have nightmares. I struggle so much to sleep on Saturdays. I sleep like a baby every other night. And so Andrea, well, actually not like a baby, like someone that sleeps well. We all need to redefine that phrase. But Andrea, you know, I wake her up out of a dead sleep and she just lays hands on me. She prays for me. She rubs my... She is just loyal. She is there through thick and thin. That's a true friend. She's my best friend. And part of it is it's that loyalty. It's amazing. Thirdly, it's the... Proverbs says the true friend's the deep friend. Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. The true friend, the deep friend, is one who does not allow your relationship to remain only surface level. And sometimes that friend, therefore, is a little painful because they ask you how you doing and you want to just say, I'm fine. And they never let you off the hook with that. I've got two friends like this, Gordon File, Patrick Jose. They ask me how you doing and they just sit there quietly until I've actually told the truth. You know, that's what they do. That's the deep friend. They draw your heart out. They draw your heart out. Fourthly, the pure-intentioned friend. Proverbs 22, verse 11. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. The reason the king is his friend is the king knows he can trust him as a friend, not just he's a guy who's trying to get something out of me. That's the pure-intentioned friend. They are there for you despite the fact that there are seasons where you can't give anything to them. Dallas Herndon is my pure-intentioned friend. Many of you are my pure-intentioned friend, but he loves me despite the fact that I really can't do anything for him. I've got nothing to offer him. He's a pure-intentioned friend. I hope that he feels like it's reciprocal, but it's like, wow, guy just blesses me. It's amazing. Some of you have friends like that. Hang on to that person. Work at reciprocation as well, but hang on to that person. Fifthly, and lastly, the true friend is the wounding friend. And I want to stop for a moment because of all the things on this list, this is the one that gets repeated most in Proverbs. The true friend is the wounding friend. I'll just read one of the many Proverbs that talks about this. But this is the one that gets the most airtime, essentially saying, this is your real friend. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You heard this before. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. The true friend will faithfully wound you for your good and the glory of God. The true friend will not allow you to just walk along in sin or foolishness. They love you too much for that. And as kindly as I can, I just want to warn some of you. And as I do, know I'm warning myself. Some of you will not have a friend like this. You just won't have it. They wound you. They rebuke you. They correct you. Your pride comes up. Your inner lawyer starts arguing. And they're not your friend anymore. Because how dare they? They're not perfect. We know they're not perfect. That's not the point. If we waited for perfection, of course we would never encourage, rebuke, whatever, one another. But the true friend will wound you. And they wound you to help you. They don't wound you just so you can feel like an idiot that day. And I just want to encourage those of you that are terrified of having a friend like this or write off people like this. Man, they're amazing. You get a friend like this, they're amazing. I've got one friend who's like this above all others, my man Pete Horning. This brother is my wounding friend, okay? He's like one of my best friends in the world. We planted this church together. I mean, I know I'm up here speaking every Sunday. This church would not exist without him. He's the entrepreneur. He's the one who likes to start things and make me anxious. And he's the wounding friend. I remember one time we were doing a fast back when we were living in State College, and I was like, you know, kind of complaining about the fast, like, man, it's 40 days, it's kind of a long time, you know, I'm getting hungry, blah, blah, blah. You know, we were doing a goofy fast, and he just, I remember, I'll never forget, he was like, you know, I've really been hearing a lot about this fast from you. You know, because the scripture says that when you're going to fast, you don't make a show about it, that's not the point. And he's always there to just faithfully tell me, if I'm being a moron, I know I will not be able to remain moronic very long. He loves me enough to wound me. If you have a friend like this, cling on to them and do not let your pride fight them away. Don't let your pride fight them away. And as we close, let's look at the Christ friend. We've seen the false friend, we've seen the true friend, but as we close, let's look at the Christ friend. Because Jesus transforms friendship in at least two ways. The first one is that Jesus is our ultimate example of true friendship. You notice how carefully Jesus selects his friends in the Gospels? Prays, stays up, and then he selects those whom he wants to journey with. I know that there are times in the Gospels where we go, I don't think Jesus was the best chooser of friends. Okay, they do some foolish stuff, but we're all Christians because of them. We stand in line of their amazing missionary effort. Jesus chose his friends wisely. Jesus also is an amazing example of having many different lanes of relationship. So he's got the crowds, he loves them. He's got his family, he loves them. He's got the 12, he loves them. But then he has these three with, you know, that he just journeyed with. They were intimate, close. He had his Peter, his James, his John. This is a wonderful example. And then we also see that Jesus is the ultimate sacrificial friend. He laid down his life for the protection of his friends, to protect them, to save them from hell, give them eternal life. He lived for them, he died for them, he was resurrected for them, and now he calls us friends. Jesus is our ultimate example of friendship, but even more than that, it is Jesus who makes true friendship possible. Let me just read a description of true friendship from Philippians 2. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others." How many of you, you're like, I want a friend like that. I want to be a friend like that. You know, when you're thinking about true friendship, just let me encourage you to start to think in two categories. Am I the kind of person someone could pick as a true friend? Am I investing my time in true friends wisely? You know, think about those. As you're looking at the true friendship that is modeled by Jesus, as you're cultivating your friendship with Christ through prayer and scripture reading and time with him and his people, ask yourself, okay, this is what a true friend is. Jesus Christ has become my friend through the gospel. I'm building my friendship with him through prayer and scripture study. Am I becoming the kind of person that someone could say, I want to journey with you? Are you picking those people wisely? For some of you, that may just mean you need to look in different places. You know, you need to join a city group. You need to get to know some people. In that city group, you need to cling on to a few people and say, hey, let's start a discipleship group together. Let's encourage one another. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of what this friendship looks like, and he makes it possible because look now, or just listen for a moment to verse 5 of Philippians 2. After we've heard this amazing description of friendship, it says, have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You can be a new friend because Jesus has given you new birth. You can become a true friend because God in Christ is your true friend through the gospel. Jesus has lived the life you should have lived. He's died the death you deserve to die. He's been resurrected on your behalf. If you come to him in faith, he forgives you of all your sins, gives you his righteousness. He's your true friend, and he frees you from the self-preoccupation that makes you a false friend. He meets all your deepest, most intimate needs, and therefore you can turn outward and be a true friend. Jesus is the one who makes true friendship possible. You know, until we start talking about Jesus, there's nothing uniquely Christian about this sermon. But the reality is that without the gospel, we cannot be true friends because we can't have yet our deepest needs met. So if you're here and you're just checking Christianity out, I want to encourage you more than true friends around you, you need the friendship of Christ. He will forgive you of your sin. He'll give you his righteousness. He'll love you unconditionally through his incredible gospel. And out of the overflow of that, you will have fellowship. You will have friendship. But things I want to invite first. For those of you, you're here, you're followers of Jesus, one of the things I want to invite you to as we're going to respond in worship is to come to the communion table and remember what Jesus has done to purchase your friendship. The bread symbolizes his body broken for you. The cup, his blood shed for you. So during our response time, as we stand and we worship, I want to invite you to come to the table if you've become a friend of Christ and remember again what he's done. So as we close, just a few reflections. Have you received this friendship from Christ through the gospel? How is Christ calling you to put off false friendship and put on true friendship? How might you need to reprioritize and reposition some relationships? We make a big deal out of this because whoever walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools will suffer much harm. We're going to respond. Will you stand with me? I'm going to pray, and we'll worship this King who has become our friend. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are our friend. You are our King who has died for us and been resurrected, and so now we want to stand and we want to sing and worship you. Some of us, we want to pray, repent, confess. Some of us, we just want to rejoice and dance because you're our friend. Others of us, we want to come to the table and remember. God, however you are calling us to respond, I pray that it would all be in light of your amazing and incredible friendship with us through the gospel. Lord Jesus, we love you. And now we come to you to worship you, not just as King, as King, who is our friend. Amen.